greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob, and you're at the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a slow news day it is. This is what? Tuesday, November 7th, 2006. There's nothing happening. Nothing happening in Denver. Nothing around Colorado. Nothing all over the country. So I think what I'll do is sit back and sort of do a fireside chat. And we could talk about democracy. The issue of democracy and people having official influence over their government and over the laws. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? And a republic is a cousin. It's related to democracy. A democracy, people have direct power over their governing officials and their laws. In a representative republic, the people authorize their representatives to exercise that power over the laws and so on. So are these ideas, are they good ideas or bad ideas? And we can look at this either biblically, we could take a biblical look at it, or we could look at it politically, either way. And I'm happy to go either way to start with. Should we flip a coin? How about heads is biblical and tails is political? Or do you want to just pick one? I'm looking at my show engineer. Which do you prefer? My show engineer said biblical, and I got tails, which is political. So, all right, I'll go with the show engineer first. Biblically. Okay, biblically. What's up with democracy? Is a democracy a good idea or a bad idea? Well, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 described the majority as evil. He said, Matthew 7:13, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. And narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So if you have a form of government where the majority gets to influence the laws and the government, you ask yourself, is the majority going to be righteous or self-centered, godless, and in rebellion against the truth and right and wrong? And according to Jesus, the majority will lead toward destruction. So that tells us a form of government that gives the majority influence or authority over the law and over the government is going to be a form of government which over time trends toward destruction. Since the majority is evil, then majority rule is guaranteed over time to be evil. So majority rule, on average, hastens government's descent into wickedness. Since the majority is evil, once a democratic government becomes evil, virtually nothing can restore it. Try to comprehend that point. Liberals can't comprehend this point. We understand they have a difficulty. But Christians should be able to process this. And we'll do the biblical and then we'll go to the political. Since the majority is evil, once a democratic government becomes evil, virtually nothing can restore it. Because the majority is not going to vote to get rid of their right to consume pornography or to commit adultery or to get benefits by stealing from their neighbor's paycheck or to kill their unborn children or to kill their elderly grandpa who they have to take care of. Okay. Individuals often repent and turn toward God, but the masses rarely do, especially not of their own leading. The masses don't lead themselves into a revival or into a repentance. So when you give authority, when you give control of the government to the masses, what are the chances that the masses are going to bring about a revival? As in the modern way of speaking, the Bible calls governing officials authorities. They're authorities, governmental authorities. Romans, Titus, Luke, Acts. Government authority does not imply majority rule, but rule over the majority. That's what government authority is. Democracy promotes arrogance, suggesting to people that governing leaders should obey them. They say, I'm your boss. I pay your paycheck. You got to do what I say. Wow, that's pretty hardcore wicked. And that's what democracy fosters in people's hearts. It promotes arrogance. Under democracy, people obey the government, which obeys the people, who obey the government, which obeys the people. Get it? It's a circular, downward, spiraling nightmare. Circular authority suffers from the same weakness as circular reasoning. They lack a valid foundation. Democracy promotes arrogance, suggesting to people that they should be able to lord it over their neighbors. I'd like to quote from Mel Gibson in the movie The Patriot. He said, "Better to live under one tyrant 3,000 miles away than 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away." That's a good point. You know, tyranny, pride, arrogance, these things, the Bible addresses these things in very substantive ways. True authority, like water, flows downhill, not uphill. Not from the people to the rulers, but from the rulers down to the people. Authority flows from God through government to men and passes through parents to reach children. That's why the Bible says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. The Bible doesn't say, let every government be subject to its people. That would be inane. Just inane. The more you work that out, the more you come close to anarchy. Because eventually the people will get rid of thou shalt not murder. And then the conservatives will say, well, we have to comply with that because it's the law. We have to be a nation of laws. But when the law and the judges have set aside thou shalt not murder, it is not a law. It is utter rebellion. There might be some organization to the rebellion, but it is utter lawless rebellion. So, and this is the biblical. We can make the political argument against democracy and republics. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. That means that God has established an authority structure. God put parents in authority over children. That doesn't mean, as some Christians get confused, if a man rapes a woman and impregnates her, that doesn't mean that God put that man in authority over the woman and the baby. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that God established the authority structure so that there are leaders in the church, and there are leaders in government, and there are leaders in families. That's what that means. God has appointed all authority structures of parents, ministers, and governing officials. And then also in Romans 13, that's where I'm referring to, verse 2, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God and will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. So God said through the Apostle Paul, if you want to be unafraid of the government, do what's good. If you're a thief or a kidnapper, a murderer, an adulterer, then you should fear the government. God never established governance by committee. God didn't say, okay, set up a committee and let the committee rule. That generally is the way to bring about compromise with righteousness, wickedness, deceit, vanity, committees. Oh, brother, committees. So God didn't set up governance by committee, but governance by individuals. The desire to rule over others lurks among the vulgar lust of life. Read Mark 10 or Matthew 20. Mark 9, 10. The desire to lord it over your neighbor is among the more vulgar lust that human beings are capable of. And that's what democracy does. Democracy exalts the vice of the brazen self-promotion to the center of public life. Who's ever best at promoting themselves the most is the one who's likely to be elected. That's not good. In denial of scripture, humanists believe men are basically good, and so they support rule by the people, democracy or representative republics. Now, left-wingers, they inflate individual authority so that individuals could be released from the restraint of government, of church, and family. They say, throw off the shackles of government. Let people do whatever they want to do. Get rid of the authority of the church and the influence of the church. A family is whatever you want a family to be. I know, I saw it on Sesame Street. Well, man's inherent sinfulness indicates that democracy will systematically worsen government. Unlike majorities, even wicked individuals like Pontius Pilate might end up deciding justly. Why? For their own reputation's sake. Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus Christ and he said, I find no guilt in this man. Then he threw it out to the majority. He went to the jury of his Christ peers for the jury to bring in their verdict. And what was their verdict? The first jury trial in the history of the world. Their verdict was crucify him, crucify him. That was the voice of the people. So individuals, even wicked individuals, may decide justly for their own reputation's sake. But when the masses are voting anonymously, there doesn't need to be a righteous outcome. Everybody is shielded from any responsibility for an evil law or an evil leader. Which German takes responsibility afterward for having voted for Adolf Hitler? So, you know, in Numbers chapter 27, we read of the rebellion of Korah. And it was pretty interesting because they were the representatives of the people. The 250 representatives of the people. And remember what happened? God said to Moses, all right, Moses, they're the representatives of the people. They think they have the authority to govern because they are the official representatives of the tribes. And in this other corner, there's you, Moses, and Aaron. So why don't you separate you guys and I'll choose. So Moses told Korah, he said, Korah, you guys back up over there. So Korah backed up and Moses and Aaron are over here. And Moses said, no, Korah, back up a little bit more. Backed up a little bit more. And Moses said, okay, just a little bit more now, Korah. Korah backs up a little bit more. And God sends fire down from heaven and consumes them and opens up the earth and sucks them down alive into hell. The whole bunch of them. So that's what God did to the House of Representatives in Israel at the time of Moses. You could read that in where? The book of Numbers, chapter 27. You know, elections are run by candidates with smooth words and with flattering speech to deceive the hearts of the simple. Doesn't that sound like a good description of an election? An election, a campaign is run by people with smooth words and with flattering speech, and they deceive the hearts of the simple. Doesn't that come from Romans 16? There was a letter to Charlemagne in 800 AD, and it foolishly stated, the voice of the people is the voice of God. And I'd like to contrast that with what President Millard Fillmore said correctly. He said, may God save the country, for it is obvious the people will not. If you look to the people to save the country, you're in big trouble. The forces of hell love democracy. They love it, including Hillary, homosexuals, humanists, and Hollywood. Why? Because the majority is evil and they know it deep down. Democracy, that is the majority rule, is inherently an evil government system. Inherently evil. In a monarchy, the king is very likely to be corrupt. But he doesn't legalize his wicked behavior. If he's an adulterer and a murderer, he doesn't legalize adultery and murder. If he's a thief, he doesn't legalize stealing. In a democracy, everyone is made king, and the laws are changed to permit their wicked behavior. So all democracies decriminalize adultery, make it legal. Homosexuality, make it legal. Pornography, make it legal. Shacking up, make it legal. Never mind that millions of kids end up growing up in broken homes with their hearts ripped out of their chest because the majority has made it legal to be lying fornicators, which is what people prefer in mass. So since the majority is evil, as we read from Jesus in Matthew 7, democracy, that is majority rule, is inherently an evil form of government. But a conservative will say, oh, but we have a representative. We don't have a democracy. And that's mostly historically naive, because I've described on this show recently how our government was set up to be only 1/6 Democratic, just the House of Representatives. But the Constitution has been changed, and our system has made our federal government increasingly Democratic. So now we don't only elect the representatives, we also elect our senators, which was not the original intent. We also elect the president, which was not the original intent. And now elected presidents nominate and elected senators confirm justices to the Supreme Court. So our federal government is, for the most part now, 100% Democratic. And we even have, in our states, we vote on laws directly, initiatives, referendums, amendments. We even vote on judges. So we are intensely humanist in our form of government. Now, the political argument against democracy. Okay, so that's a biblical argument against democracy. Oh, by the way, should we vote? I went and voted today. I voted because we have a candidate running for governor, Bob Beaupre, who I'm not certain if he won. Now, everything's stacked against him. But if he won, I'm not certain he would actually fight to save the lives of innocent children. But his platform is perfect. He is strongly pro-life in his words and in his written platform on his website. And I pray if ever he has the opportunity, he would be pro-life in his actions. I voted for the marriage amendment and against a referendum, the homosexual gay marriage referendum. In fact, I voted against all other amendments and referendums, just yes on 43. My kids thought that was funny. Zachary, who's 9 years old, I let him do all the voting and Dominic pressed vote. It was pretty high up for them. It was all electronic. We voted right where Bob Beaupre voted, in the same precinct. But we missed the TV cameras and all. They came when Bob Beaupre went to vote. And then we followed that just a little bit later. But my son Zachary said, Dad, you voted against so many things. Why'd you vote against all those things? And I said, son, you'll have to listen to last Wednesday's show. No, I didn't say that. I explained it to him, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay, so now we vote. We're stuck with this system of voting. But we should recognize as Christians, we are stuck with this system. We should never vote for something that's evil or wrong. We should never do that. And we should do what we can to explain to people that this is a humanist form of government that we're operating under. Okay, so political arguments against democracy. Government should protect minorities from the majority. That is a primary function of government, to protect minorities from the majority. Like, let's say, the rich. All right? The rich. The minorities would like to steal from the rich. So one of the functions of government is to protect minorities like the wealthy from the majority who would want to fleece them or plunder them. You know, beautiful young women are a minority in a society because most people are not young women. Governments should protect minorities from the majority. Racial minorities, blacks, Hispanics, Jews, whoever. Fundamentalist Christians need to be protected from the majority. That's a function of government. So government should protect minorities from majority rule, not impose it upon them. This is the opposite of the function of government. A just function of government is they should protect minorities from majority rule, not impose it on them. More likely, the majority will exploit a minority than a minority will misuse the majority. It is possible, of course. Minorities do exploit majorities at times in history. But it's more likely that the majority will exploit a minority. Go to Saudi Arabia and look at the lot of a Christian or a Jew. in Saudi Arabia. So the majority will exploit the minority. Okay, that's pretty common. Democracy empowers the majority to abuse any minority, the rich, white males, Christians, etc. It empowers the majority to do that. Democracy is mob rule, just slightly slowed. Right? Mob rule is anarchy. Well, just slow that down a little bit and put a voting booth in the middle of it, and then you have mob rule. 51% has no inherent right to compel the 49%. Think about that. 51% has no inherent right to compel the 49%. At church, some years ago, we had a Sunday school class. We had the kids. A friend of mine did this. So this wasn't at our church. We gave all the kids 4 Oreos each. We said, now wait, before you eat them, we're going to have a democracy and we're going to vote. We're going to see if anybody wants to vote to rearrange who has the Oreos. So why don't you guys could consider, like, the boys could vote that the girls have to give them the Oreos, or the girls could vote that the boys have to give them the Oreos. So the kids voted, and there was like 7 boys and 5 girls. So the boys liked that idea, so they voted that they would get all the Oreos because they're boys. So all the girls had to give the boys the Oreos. How's that? That was pretty rude. And that gave those kids quite an object lesson on democracy. All the girls thought it was a nightmare, and all the boys thought it was pretty good. You see, and then you got to teach them that democracy empowers people to steal from their neighbors. And that's wrong. 51% has no inherent right to compel the 49%. Democracies, they use the words politics and politician as pejoratives. Did you know that? They use those words as insults. Even Bill Clinton has used the word politician as an insult. Why would he do that? Because we know intuitively that politicians are lower than what? They're lower than, what do you have at the bottom of the social respect ladder? You have used car dealers, lawyers, and politicians. Pretty much politicians are at the bottom. Now, you can have a thoroughly honorable used car dealer. What's more likely, an honorable used car dealer or lawyer? Used car dealer. What's more likely, honorable used car dealer or politician? Used car dealer. The larger the committee, the more unreliable its performance. So democracy leads poorly. The masses, they hear only sound bites via democracy, and this aids in disingenuous, flattering politicians. Would you let your precinct decide your medical treatment? No? Well, then, should they decide the nation's future? Monetary, criminal, and foreign policies are too important to be directed by amateurs that are applying cliches to their decisions. Morally, the majority sinks to the level permitted by the government. If the majority is the government, then nothing stops a nation's gradual decline. Authority flows downhill, not uphill. So democracy is unnatural and promotes rebellion and egocentrism. You sit at a Thanksgiving table and you got Uncle Fred on the one hand and you and your wife on the other, and he supports abortion and Hillary, and you're Christians. Democracy is one of the most divisive conceivable forms of government, and representative republics are identical in many of these respects. They're kissing cousins. Children do not vote to give their parents authority over them, and neither should our people vote to give authority over the government. Now, elections waste fortunes from lost productivity, from campaign expenses, and legal bribery. Like George Bush saying, vote for me and I'll send millions of dollars through church ministries and through a faith-based initiative. Vote for me and I'll give senior citizens tens of billions of dollars for a new entitlement program for prescription drugs. That's legal bribery. Last century, democracy empowered the Nazis, and the democratic socialists slaughtered tens of millions of people just last century. In war, leaders emboldened by popular vote will sacrifice lives unnecessarily, carrying out majority will. Elected officials gain favor with the people by giving them other men's property. You know who wrote that? That was Cicero back 100 years before Christ, almost. Seneca, way back when in the Roman Empire, wrote, "Democracy is more cruel than wars or tyrants." I don't think these guys are good. They're not good. They just made observations that most conservative Christians have forgotten, that democracy is the worst form of government. Christians will joke and they'll say, "Democracy is the worst form of government except for every other." Ha 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 ha. No, just end it there when you're correct. So there is more. If you'd like to consider more, you could go to our website. Our main website is kgov.com, but we have a sister site. It's ours. We own it. We run it, called shadowgov.com. It's a fun site. It's all mostly my writings, but our projects where we have tried to influence the government and public opinion. And shadowgov.com is just such a neat website. And for this information, you could look at the Constitution of America tab and click on the biblical and political defense and apologetic for our Constitution. We have Focus on the Strategy on there at that website. We have Execute Scott Peterson, fascinating information from the Bible. We have the Clinton rapist reports, Attack on America, a Christian response to 9/11, the Columbine Massacre, and the Ramsey murder. All at shadowgov.com. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to being with you tomorrow. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out. And hey, call us up for a catalog, 800-8-NYART. May God bless you.